Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Ask the experts about free fitting on all our kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The Chief Executive of the HSE, Bernard Gloucester, is appearing at the Health Committee today, and he's been addressing the case of Harvey Morrison Sherrett, who sadly died last summer, having had a spinal surgery in December of 2024. But we know that Harvey waited several years for that spinal surgery. Bernard Gloucester has said today he can clearly see from accounts given by Harvey's parents that they have lived experience of him being let down by the healthcare system. That is something I very much regret as head of the health service, for which today I want to apologise to them. He expressed his sincere condolences to Harvey's parents and to all who have been affected by his death. He went on to say that he's reached out to Harvey's family. He's anxious to hear from them to discuss the most appropriate way in which Harvey's care can be reviewed. I'm aware, said Mr. Gloucester, that the minister is also set to meet Gillian and Steve, and I will await the outcome of that to inform any next steps. So that is from Bernard Gloucester, the CEO of the HSE, speaking this morning at the Health Committee. Now, Budget 2026 is set to be delivered in just under 2 weeks with a package of €9.4 billion. The government is under equal pressure to provide supports for those struggling amid the cost of living crisis and not to add fuel to the overheating economy. The Finance Minister, Pascal Donoghue, and the Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform, Jack Chambers, will appear before the Committee on Budgetary Oversight this evening to update politicians. For more on this, I'm joined now by Fionnán Sheehan, who's Ireland editor with the Irish Independent. So Fionnán, good morning to you. Thanks for coming in. What do you think is the defining issue for this budget in your view? Because it's been pretty quiet. Like, the presidency has been a distraction, yeah, obviously.
I would say moderating expectation. And that's going to be a big difficulty for them this time, because they did open the purse strings last year ahead of weeks out from a general election. They weren't going to scrimp and scrape this time. Pascal Donoghue got caught out in that regard back in election 2020. So this time around, they continued on with a number of initiatives such as universal payments for everybody in relation to a cost of living package, because they didn't want to be cutting that off for a general election and causing that sort of kerfuffle. Very generous on the social welfare side, and a lot of commitments made across other public services. And now a year on, they've basically found public spending is largely speaking getting out of control. And it's not just the Department of Health we're looking at this time. It's across a number of other departments, education, justice, children. We're going to be €3 billion over this year. There is an argument from a lot of the economists that a package of €9.4 billion is just too much to be putting out there. That it's going to be inflationary. That you've got a strong economy and you need to protect that. But the criticism from the economists is, look, you're doing a good job on running the economy. You're doing a bad job on running the fiscal priorities, because you're basically spending too much. You're not broadening your tax base. You're overly dependent upon corporation taxes. And that ultimately, if you keep going like this, when a downturn of any sort comes about, you're going to be caught out very, very badly.
The problem for people is, though, who are already, you know, feeling the squeeze on groceries and energy bills in particular, that if you're not getting your one-off interventions this year, that feels like a cut.
It does, yeah. It feels like it's income that you're not getting into your household this year. So that's why there is going to be pressure on them to show that across the board they are taking account of this. So what they're saying they're going to do is, this time around, you'll have your general overall social welfare package, and then they're saying they're going to target specific measures at people who are most vulnerable. But I think allied to that, they are going to have to show that on the taxation side, that they're indexing taxes. And what that means is basically that you don't end up paying more tax next year.
You'd be flat.
Be flat. Yeah. Or at least you can show some bit of a benefit to you, because pay is continuing to go up. Inflation is, we're told, going down. I mean, it's gone up 20% over the past 4 years when you tie it all together. So the trolley load of shopping that you got for 100 euros 5 years ago is now costing you 120, and people are feeling that pain as well in terms of household
bills. And
grocery
prices are still going up.
They are still going up, but the argument being from a lot of the think tanks and from the government's own expectations is, look, food price inflation and inflation as a whole is going to come down a bit next year. Growth of the economy is going to slow down a bit, but we're still outperforming most most European countries, so we're still doing exceptionally well. And these, what we were talking about a couple of years ago as these one-off corporation tax payments, these excess corporation tax receipts that we were getting, particularly from the tech and the pharma sector, the excess keeps on accessing. So the trick from the government's perspective is not to get too dependent upon that. So we'll see how Jack Chambers and Pascal Donoghue do moderate expectation, do say that they have got some sort of plan, because there hasn't been one today. There's a lot of missing economic data at the moment in terms of what is the government projecting is going to happen over the next 5 years, what exactly is their plan. And if you were looking at an underperforming department and an underperforming minister at the moment, I know James Brown, the housing minister, gets a lot of flack in that regard. You'd have to say Jack Chambers has had a very bad year. So he'd want to be able to show in this budget, the first of three that he will deliver as public expenditure minister and the bright-eyed boy of Fianna Fáil, that he's got some sort of handle on what exactly is going on in these
departments. Well, he'll be here the day after the budget for the budget phone in, and
we will ask him all about that.
I have Dr. Emma Howard on the line with us as well, economics lecturer at TU Dublin. Emma, good morning to you. Thanks for being with us.
Morning, Claire.
I want to ask you about that government dilemma, the money ministers. I mean, they have told us time and again the one-off payments are gone, but like, they make a huge difference to people who are really feeling the squeeze. Do you think that that is the right course of action to take, that you'll have social welfare recipients perhaps who will get a lift, but the average worker looks like they're going to miss out?
Yeah, and I think like that what's critical in this budget is really that those measures are targeted and are targeted at those who, as you rightly say, are struggling. And we do have a significant minority who are really struggling to deal with the rise in prices. And Fionnán mentioned grocery prices in particular, but we see energy costs are going up again, and a lot of providers have increased their charges again this year. So, you know, while we have had high levels of inflation, it's really important to note that those who are on the lowest income have really faced higher inflation than the rates than those on the highest level of income. So, you know, we saw research out from the ESRI recently that said that if you're in the lowest income fifth of households in Ireland, the inflation rate that you faced was 7% higher than the headline rate. But if you're in the highest earning fifth of households in Ireland, your inflation rate was actually 5% lower, because, you know, if you're on a low income, the vast majority of your spending is on those essentials like groceries and energy costs. Mm-hmm. And what we're seeing is that while there is that minority, and it's a big minority, so, you know, if we take housing costs into account, we saw that one in five children are now living in poverty, in households that are in poverty in Ireland. But if you look at things like the consumption spending on durable goods, or the discretionary consumption spending over the last 2 years, that's still increasing. So those of us who are in that upper end of the income distribution, sort of, you know, from the middle to the top, we're managing those extra costs, and we're also actually spending on things that, you know, that we don't necessarily need.
So can I ask you then, in your view, does that justify the government's decision not to invest in one-off spending this year?
Yes, completely. And, you know, Fionnán mentioned about the spending being out of control. Like, we've got way too high levels of spending, which have been feeding into inflation over the last couple of years. So the fact that the government have been breaking their own spending rules and increasing spending year on year by an amount, for an average household in Ireland, that's actually added an extra 1,000 on our annual bills. And that's research from the central bank that shows that's the amount of extra spending that households have to do because of the government overrunning. And, you know, we've seen they announced a 3 billion increase last year. With all those overruns that Fionnán mentioned, it's looking more likely that the spending will have increased 7.6 billion this year. Mm-hmm. So they're not even properly planning and budgeting for those, you know, running to standstill costs, those costs, you know, it's an overrun if it happens 1 year. We know in health, for example, it's been the last 9-10 years that we've had overruns in health. So okay. I think they need to properly plan and also then target any measures to those households that actually need them rather than fueling inflation further in the economy.
Well, when you talk about targeting, I mean, we've heard for a long time now about a two-tier child benefit scheme coming into effect, but it's not going to come in this budget, apparently. Is that a missed opportunity?
It's a huge missed opportunity. And I actually looked to check exactly when the ESRI produced this report showing that child poverty could be reduced by a quarter. So you could have taken 40,000 children out of poverty by introducing this second tier of means tested, so very targeted child benefit. September 2023 was when that report came out. So, you know, this idea that government haven't had time to implement it and that there's, you know, it's too difficult to implement. It really shows a lack of political will in prioritising poverty reduction in children.
Okay.
You know, we.
Sorry to cut across, Emma, but I want to come back to Fiona on the politics of this, because when it comes to the budget, to spending, you know, it's likely, do you think, that we will see some of those deals done with independents come to fruition?
Yeah, so a factor we'll be watching out for in this budget is what's happened to the green initiatives now that there are no greens around. So what's happening with the spend on active transit, such as cycle lanes and footpaths and public transport, versus spending on roads? Where does that ratio lie? What sort of allocation is going to go there? There is going to be an extra $2 billion on the capital side, so there's a lot of money to be spent. And then are there any local deals that we can identify as a result of this? Because those independents, much like the coalition parties themselves, are going to want to be able to come out after this significant event, being the budget, and say, well, actually, we were the ones who lobbied for that. Mm-hmm. We're the ones who can take credit for it. If we weren't in there, then this wouldn't be happening. And that may well be on something as simple as a social welfare payment, that it goes up by a couple of euros more than it would have, and they will say they lobbied for that. So while those independents, predominantly they're in super junior and junior minister roles, they're not in the major spending departments, they will want to have their own influence stamped across that as well. But it is, we'll be watching the social welfare side to see what exactly are they doing on the child poverty and on the targeting measures if they can't do something significant like a two-tier child benefit, because that's highly politicised. I mean, this is not the first time a government has turned this down. A decade ago, the then Minister for Social Protection, Joan Burton, had a report on two-tier child benefit, which she sat on for 18 months and didn't publish because it was so politically toxic. It is still seems to be extraordinarily difficult to go down that route, because you're basically...
Well, there was an awful lot less money around back then.
A lot less
too,
money now and then, but now you still have to say to people who are on middle incomes, we believe you fall above that threshold, that you are not entitled to this second payment.
And even something would be an issue.
Even as something as simple as a higher level payment for a third and subsequent child, mm-hmm. doesn't seem to be on the table now.
Right.
Declaration of interest. I only have two. That would affect you.
I have the three.
You have the three.
I'll be in there.
But that's a progressive European wide. There's a lot of European countries who would go down that route, and it is seen to also help on the child poverty mm-hmm. perspective. So the lack of implementation on the child benefit is definitely disappointing.
All right. Well, thank you both very much, Fionnán Sheehan and Dr. Emma Howard.